You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. So, let's get into some of this spiritual mayhem here on the portal. And today I saw a video that absolutely, I check out thousands of paranormal videos all the time. I mean, it's just one of the things that I do as I'm researching this stuff is check out what people are claiming as evidence. And high 90% of the time, it's all a bunch of bunk. I mean, it may be legitimate, but it's so indecipherable and so poorly done that you can't tell. And unfortunately, when you're looking at these things on YouTube and other video sites as well, you can't look at the equipment. You can't talk to the person that's claiming the activity. You can't examine the surroundings and look for any plausible real life kind of causes that could be making it appear like something paranormal is happening. But every once in a great while, I'll just get floored by something. And it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, I don't know if that's an intuitive response or what. But I'm telling you, I saw a video today that made me feel sick to my stomach. And I did post it on the Paranormal Portal Radio Facebook page, if you want to see it. But it's never was claimed in the video what was depicted on the screen, but in my opinion, it looks like a rake. It seems to match the description of a rake as I understand it. Whatever the hell this guy captured, to me, it really hit me on a real deep, primal level. Like, I don't know. And I don't know if it's a genetic memory or something of things we had to deal with when we were crawling up the food chain or what, but whatever that thing was that was out in that guy's yard, and there is a screen in front of the camera, so it's a bit obscured, but whatever's in that yard, it just hit me like no. I mean, that was a big bag of nopes for me personally, and that never happens. That just never ever happens, except for like 1% of the time, or less than 1% when I'm watching these videos. But whatever's going on in that video for me, and again, I can't say it's accurate. I can't say it's 100% true, but something about it just hit me in a real profound level, like, oh, no, 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 no. So that basically what's going on is this guy has had activity around his home, hearing noises outside, having weird things go on, and the night before this video was taking place, now the video is from 2017, the night before he heard something in his porch, and he went to go investigate, and he heard it fly out of there as soon as he was walking towards the door to go check. Now, he set up his iPad in the window of this sunroom that you can't really see into during the nighttime because he has these outside lights on and stuff, but his iPad is there leaning up against the screen, and it's recording video, and the guy's sitting back in the room, and you don't see him, but you can hear him. He's like sitting back there going, oh no, there it is. I see it. And as you're looking at this scene, when it first starts, you can see this real almost translucent white figure way back in the yard scene. And every once in a while it creeps up, and the motions this thing is making, the length of the arms, from what I can decipher, it looks as though there is a creature coming up to his house that appears to be at least semi-bipedal and just really creepy. I don't know. I've only watched it once. I probably need to watch it again, but it really was uncomfortable for me to watch. And I don't, like, again, I don't ever have that reaction. So I don't know. All I can do is shoot from the hip from this one, but I can only go by my initial, you know, like, I don't know, intuitive response to it. Like, whatever I was looking at, I didn't want to see. So take it or leave it, but check it out. I do recommend you check it out. Now, I've gotten a couple comments, and two people so far that commented on it are like, it looks like it could be CGI. Now, I'm actually studying CGI in my own time between prepping for shows, being a dad, being a husband, and everything else. So every spare moment, I'm working on building 3D models and compositing and setting up animation and stuff, because I want to develop some show assets for the Paranormal Portal and maybe even other shows on TFR if other people are interested. But as I'm going through this, I see how much work setting up a CGI composite on an actual scene is. It's not an easy thing. So here's the thing: the figure in the video is absolutely unremarkable. You can barely make out the outline, but you can make out an outline of some kind. But the proportions seem wrong for a person to me. Now, could it be a suit of some kind with extensions? I guess it's certainly possible. But addressing the CGI remark first. Now, having knowledge of what goes into CGI, I can tell you that I find it really hard to believe that somebody would take the time to mask out this mesh on the screen because you have to mask it out. You have to tell the computer when you're compositing something on there to not composite over these, to ignore these spaces. So you set up a grid pattern and you tell the computer, don't put anything here when you're modeling this character onto the scene. And so it will remain solid and look like you're looking through a screen. Secondly, you have to match the pixelization of the scene exactly, including being within the color palette of the scene. Now, that's a whole lot of color balancing, and then you got to deal with blending, and then you've got to make it fit. And so this would be absolutely a lot of work for someone to go through for a 5-minute video that, you know, most people have never heard of. So I can't imagine anybody extending that much effort. And the figure itself is completely unremarkable if it were a CGI, because it's so hard to see exactly what it is. So if somebody was going to CGI something, they generally want it to look like something. This thing looks really bizarre, and it's hard to really make out what it is, but there are aspects of its motion where you can see where the legs are. There are aspects of its motion where you can see where the arms are, and just some really weird body mechanics. Now, in animating, that's hard to make look natural and organic. Now, it doesn't look like something you've seen before, but it doesn't look like it's totally choppy and blocky. It's got a fluid motion to it. So I don't buy that it's CGI. Could it be? Sure. But I don't believe it. I don't believe anybody would spend the time and resources to do it. Secondly, someone said it looks like it could be someone in a suit or outside. Now, whatever's going on, if this guy does not appear to be in on it, if it's somebody out in his yard, he doesn't appear to be in on the gag, because this guy's freaking out. He starts crying. He's praying. He calls his minister on the phone, and they're praying together to give him protection. This guy is seems genuinely freaked out. So that's my two cents on this. I hope you check it out and let me know what you think. But again, I'm shooting from the hip. I don't know that it's true. I don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it couldn't be fake. But it just really hit me on an emotional level, like, ugh, for whatever it's worth. But check it out if you would. So let's get to some stories. I just went on that side note, but I think it's cool whenever some new evidence comes up or some possible evidence comes up. I definitely want to include you guys in it, because I do, you know, feel like you're part of the family. You guys are part of my paranormal group. You guys are, I like to bounce things off of you guys. Oftentimes when I'm doing the show, I'm thinking on my feet, you know, when I come up with these ideas or thoughts about these things. And it's just a conversation. The show is a conversation. So this is something I thought was really interesting. So if you would want to check it out, it's up there on the Facebook page. The first one's coming out of California. And the person says, so this event happened in late 1996 to early 2001 in Roseville, California, on 5th Street, when my twin brother and I were 3, almost 4, our family moved into a white house with brown shingles on it. The house had a moderate-sized front yard and a wooden fence and a big porch, a large living room and a moderate-sized kitchen, a long hall on one side, and my brother and myself's bedroom and our sister's large back bedroom. On the other side was the bathroom, and I don't remember much about when we first moved in, but I remember feeling scared to go into the room and go to sleep. My brother and I had a bunk bed, and he slept on the top, and I slept on the bottom. Yeah, I know the top bunk just seems like it'd be safer. Like if something was coming in, it'd probably go for the low-hanging fruit. So I never had bunk beds when I was a kid, but my older kids did. He slept on the bottom. I slept on the bottom. The author slept on the bottom. So the first occurrence I can recall was a voice that sounded like the voice of Marilyn Monroe type of voice. It told my brother and I these exact words. Draw on the closet. Go ahead. My brother and I, being little and naive, found a crayon each and drew all over our white closet door. Our parents asked us why we did it, and we replied, because the lady said so. Our parents didn't really believe us and scoffed it off. A year later, our family was all nice and settled in, and we would watch TV in the evenings, usually like The Price is Right, and snack on a dessert, and then we would hear these knocks on the doors. Sometimes from the back door and sometimes the front, and we had no idea what caused it, and we would look all around the front and backyards, and this is a rather regular kind of thing every night, so we scoffed it off as just being somebody pulling pranks. About 3 years later, my brother and I were out of the house, and my parents were having guests over when the back door was knocked on, and it suddenly flew open. My mom screamed, and my sister came out and looked surprised. Being the brave one, my dad checked it out, and nothing was there. Later that night, my parents were discussing things with us at our bedsides, and I got up and went to the bathroom, and when I came back, I tried to get in my bed, and something growled. It was an audible growl that everyone in the room heard. It really scared us. I'm 14 now, and we live in a different house and in the same town, and I still have heard unexplained phenomena in this house. If anything bad happens, I'll be sure to write it down. Wow. Sounds like something dark. The next one, ladies and gentlemen, is coming from Florida. While I was going to college, I lived in the apartments at the college for about 1 year, and I don't think it was a very old apartment building, and I don't think if anybody had ever died there, I certainly wasn't aware of it. I had 3 roommates, 2 of whom had lived there the previous year. The girl in bedroom right next to mine moved in at the same time I did. Once we moved in, some strange things started happening. The other two roommates had said nothing like this had ever happened before, and it started with the television in the living room, and all four of us were sitting on the couch. We were watching the television, and the remote was sitting under the table that the TV was on, upside down, and the back was off of the remote, so we could see that there were no batteries in it, and the volume on the TV was a little too low, and I commented on it and asked anyone if they would turn it up. Of course, we were all too lazy to go do it, so we just sat there. And however, the volume bar on the TV started to go up and remarkably stopped at a comfortable volume. We were all pretty shocked, but it didn't scare us really. And after some discussion, we decided that our apartment might be haunted. It was probably haunted by either a kind spirit or one with a good sense of humor. After that, I started hearing strange noises at night, not like noises you expect to hear in a college apartment complex, but very mechanical, like ticking noises. The part that really got me, though, only happened one night in my bedroom, and I was laying in bed in the dark trying to get to sleep, and I heard a loud thud on the wall behind my head. Immediately after that, the following things happened in a perfect clockwise circular pattern around my room. The mirror door in my closet shook. Right after it shook, the bedroom doorknob just to the right of it began turning rapidly, then stopped. And my bathroom doorknob just to the right of my room door turned rapidly. And after that, my VCR, which was right next to the bathroom, turned on and then off by itself. And the window to the right of my VCR began to shake, and then the thud behind me once more. This circle went around three times and then stopped. What is they call that Widdershins in Wicca? Don't they call that Widdershins? I had no idea what was going on, and I had absolutely no explanation as to what was making those noises. Nobody else had any experiences in their rooms, and I didn't have any more after that, but the TV in the living room was still affected. I've long moved out since that time, but I still think it was an interesting story. Also, I was interested in theories on who or what was in our apartment. Hard to say. Need you a psychic up in there is what I'm thinking. Just call the portal. We'll get you straightened out. Okay, and the next one, it's coming out of New York. New York City. Remember those old salsa commercials? This one's made in New York. New York City. Get a rope. Oh, that was paste picante sauce, I think. Ah, good times. Anyway, this one's pretty short. It says, a few years ago, my friend was sleeping over, and my mom took us and our brothers to Friendly's. Not sure what Friendly's is, but it must be popular in New York, to get ice cream cones. And on the way home, we were pulling into our driveway and when we saw a dark shadow jump my fence and run from the house. We went to find it, but it was nowhere to be seen. Another time, I was with that same friend and we were making a movie and it was dark night and we were filming in my parents' bedroom and it was a movie about a robbery and we filmed most of it. But when it was time to go to sleep, we locked all the doors in the room and went onto the bed that we made for the movie. And with all the lights turned off, we began to get really scared. And suddenly, we saw a shadow run across the room and out of the window. We both recall it wearing a yellow raincoat. That same friend was sleeping over another time, and we had just settled into our bed that was in the room straight across from my front door. And we had a door open a little bit when everyone else in my house was asleep except us. I looked at my front door and saw the shadow slipping in through the window to get inside my house. Shaken with fear, I pulled the covers over my head, and when I looked back at the door a few minutes later, he was gone. Yeah, it looks like you might need to sage up in there a little bit and work with some salt and, I don't know, holy water or something. Start to seal those thresholds. Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here, the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. All right, the next one is coming out of Iowa. Iowa. This one's a little longer. Me and my sister called this the 1817 place. That was the address, but it was over 150 years old, and I was 12, and Jess was 14, and we were scared of this place. My mom never believed us, but we know she saw things. Here's what happened. We all slept together, even though we all had our own rooms, because it was so frightening to be there. We always heard noises coming from the attic, and that were definitely not raccoons or squirrels. You know what I mean. And you could always feel a presence in the house all the time. My first experience was when I was sleeping in my mom's room and her bed was on the floor next to the door, which was right next to the stairway. And just as I was falling asleep, I heard a loud clunking on the wooden stairs, just like when I walk down the stairs with my boots now. The second experience was Jessica's, and she was sitting on her bed reading, and all of our beds were on the floor, and there was a chair right next to her, which was empty, but she looked up and she saw a girl in yellow pajamas sitting in her chair. The girl had what looked like a cut going all the way around her throat. She proceeded to tell Jess about herself and her death. I don't remember how old she said she was, but she told Jess that she and her baby sister, had been killed by their father, and she was strangled and her sister was shot. I don't remember anything being said about the mother, but it might have been. And the thing is that her father's room turned out to be my room. The third experience was of me and my older sister, Frankie, and we were all sitting in the living room when we heard a baby crying. But there were no babies in our house. We went to the stairs because it was coming from upstairs, and when we got to the bottom of the stairs, we saw an infant crawling across the threshold of Jess's room. It crawled from her room to the bathroom, looked up, turned around, and came back. And when she turned, we saw a gaping bloody hole in her abdomen, staining the blue gown that she was wearing with blood. Oh, that's horrible. The fourth experience was mine. I was sitting in the hallway, sitting halfway out the window, smoking a cigarette. I was a bad kid. When I looked back into the room and there was a man standing there with the scariest looking face I've ever seen in my entire life. He had a double barrel shotgun cocked in his left arm, you know, like open and waiting to be loaded. He was wearing overalls and a white shirt underneath and boots. And when he turned his head, the image resonated, like didn't completely move with him fast enough. He just looked at me and said, "Get out of my damn house," and left. I don't know what went on there. I've never experienced anything like it before or after, and I hope not to as well. Maybe we all just saw what our imaginations wanted us to, but personally, I couldn't hallucinate if I tried. I'm too skeptical, and it halts me in spirituality, but the things that happened there were strong enough for quite a few people to see. Who knows if we ever believe it ourselves, but We saw what we saw and heard what we heard. And that's my story. Wow, that is creepy. Very, very creepy. I don't know. That you know, it's kind of a cookie cutter kind of story though, right? The family that was murdered and by the twisted father. I don't know. I know that kind of stuff happens, and of course it's horribly tragic and it's just wrong, but I don't know. You don't know what to believe on some of these. All right, so the next one, North Carolina. One night in 1977 on the outskirts of Rocky Mount, North Carolina. That's Rocky, Mount? Or is it Rocky Mount, North Carolina? I don't know. Deb, do you know? Is it Rocky Mount or Rocky, Mount? I don't know. All right. Well, wherever it is, off of Highway 43, me and my family lived in an old wood, white and black house that still is there to this day. I always felt like this house was haunted because every night at about 12 midnight, you can hear a chair rocking in the back of the house and in the living room around the same time. It sounds like a fight has broken out. You can hear wrestling going on, and there are a few reasons why I feel like this house is haunted. One night while I was watching television, I glanced and saw a shadow of something about 6 feet tall moving outside of my window. It scared the hell out of me. I screamed and ran to tell my mom just to return, and nothing was there. On Friday night, we went to bed, and my mom and dad, they slept together. And my oldest sister and youngest brother at the time slept together, and me and my other older sister, slept together in separate beds. Though the night somehow something moved the three of us to a different bed. We never awoke during the move, and we all woke up at the same time that Saturday morning, shocked, freaked out, and wondering how could something move us through the night and never wake us up. I woke up in the bed with my dad, my mom woke up in bed with the oldest sister, and my brother woke up in bed with my next oldest sister, and it was completely chilling. No one has been able to live there until this day. If you like to be scared to death, move into this house in front of West Edgecombe School and you will think you're in hell, believe it or not. This is a place where the evil never rests, and it always sounds like something is running at you through the woods. On this back porch, you can leave the kitchen for a hot minute and with hot dish water and come back in less than a minute later to ice-cold dishwater. I found years later where this wrestling came from. I found out that one night, someone was having a party, and twins were there. Somehow one brother had a girlfriend that he was crazy about, just to find out that his brother was sleeping with her too. One twin pulled a gun out during a fist fight in the living room with his twin and shot and killed him there. I'm sure now that this house is haunted and some poor souls continue to rock unpeacefully in this house each and every night. Could be. Diabolical twins. Oh, those are the worst kind of twins. Next one is coming out of Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. This one is a very quick one. I can see I'm going to need to pull more stories up for you guys because, you know, it would just be far too quick to close out now. I do have another mention about that video, some background on it as well that I forgot to mention prior. So out of Tennessee, I'm about to turn 15, and so I'm still at the same house as another story that I posted. But last night, I was sitting down on my couch while my parents and their friends were drinking outside. While watching my brothers, I was watching television, and I heard my bedroom door open, and someone came walking out. I knew no one was in the house because our doors creak. Well, they came down the stairs and into my living room, and I felt the couch cushion bend down. Then right in my ear, someone said, "I'm warning you. Robert won't be happy with you." It was a woman's voice. I don't do women's voice impressions. "I'm warning you." Sorry. It was a woman's voice, so I did what my friend told me to do, and I responded with a, "Why?" I heard the footsteps run out of the room. I was furious. It was the man who had killed himself and his wife, and she was telling me that it was my curfew. And I ran into my room, and I turned off my light, and then I heard a loud bang in my closet. A man's voice said to me really loud, "Get out." So I did what it told me to do, and I ran upstairs to my den, and I sat there on the computer playing Millsbury. Yeah, so what I play on a kid's site, I get bored. Okay, I need help. Do I tell it to go away, or do I deal with the presence and just be scared for the rest of my life in that room? I don't think anybody should be living afraid, but again, this story comes from 2007, so it's quite a long time ago. That's 12 years ago. Wow. So I don't know. I guess this person's well grown through that phase now, being, you know, 27 years old, but it must have been absolutely terrifying. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in. So, this one's coming out of Pennsylvania, and it says, "My scary night started at about 8:30 at night, and me and my sister were watching a scary movie, which I will keep untitled, but it was about ghosts. We watched half of the movie and then stopped it because her boyfriend had called, and so I retreated downstairs to watch some TV until she was done talking, but I heard a giant thump in my basement and a moan of a human. So to make myself feel better, I said out loud, 'You aren't real,' about 8 times until I heard feet walking up the steps, and then I screamed and I held my cat thinking she would protect me." Cats are believed to be protection against spirits, so that's not a bad plan, actually. At least it's worth a shot. If you got nothing else, grab your cat. They're supposed to be spiritual protectors. The door opened, and a white shadow-like figure was standing in the middle of my kitchen, staring at me. It was a little boy, and I could tell the age was about 7 or even 6. I went out to the kitchen, saw a little white figure, and it was a little boy, and I could tell it was about 7 or even 6 years old, and I went out to the kitchen and chanted, "In the name of God, what do you want?" And at that instant, it pointed at my grandfather's picture, seeming like he was a lost grandfather. He lost a grandfather or such, so I screamed, "Leave me alone, please, just leave." I know he's only a young boy, but I was scared, and now I regret ever speaking to him like that. But my night went on, and after that I went to my room, still waiting for my sister to call me back to her room to watch the movie. But I thought I was going nuts when I heard laughing of an old man and then laughing of a little boy up in the attic. So, being dumb, I walked up the attic steps, only to see a little boy on an old man's lap, and then hearing a moan, a scream, and then a cry, and that's when I started thinking of what the little boy wanted. I decided not to watch the rest of the movie and to do some research on my house and street, and I found that in 1934, an old man named Richard died of a heart attack, and that the child had died of a broken heart of losing his only last family. He was an orphan for about 3 days until he died. Aw, that's terrible. I'm not afraid of this little boy now, knowing what had happened to him, and I try to comfort him by trying to talk to him, but please still try and tell me what you think could have caused his sudden appearance that night. I don't know. The paranormal happens when it happens. I don't know. There's not always a sensible trigger, but it could be just this person's age. They were coming to the age when, you know, maybe some kind of spark lit up in them and they came into some ability or understanding. I don't know. This one's out of Kentucky. So we came to the conclusion early on that our house is definitely haunted. So we investigated with a camera ourselves. We began in the back bedroom and encountered several different lifelike figures. We saw a man's face outlined, including his eyes, a woman's body shape, staring eyes, and several voices over the microphone saying, "Get out," and rough breathing. We went over all the data several times to prove everything was real, and then we went to the smallest bedroom, which leads to more physical ghosts. They would quickly walk by the camera, and when we got close to a hotspot, they would push the camera away. In our main hallway, there was a small girl floating in midair with her hands up and disappeared into the walls. And lastly, a woman in the cellar with red eyes and a robe over her head holding a globe looking directly at us. When we came down, she looked ragged and poor. We've been living here a long time. About 1 year ago, a black shadow man followed Jeremy, whoever Jeremy is, everywhere he went around the house. At first we didn't believe him, but then we encountered the same thing. We do not know what any of this is and would like believers or anyone to give us any advice as to what it may be. We would appreciate the help. Thank you. I think you may have a portal is what it sounds like, or some kind of spiritual vertex going on in your home. If you have that much different activities and, seemingly pretty disparate activity, like seeing a different members of a family in a home, not unusual, but seeing sometimes a floating kid holding a orb, other times different things, different spirits that doesn't seem to have any correlation or, you know, follow a narrative of any kind, I would say that you're dealing with something else. There's some way that they're coming and going then. And that's just a high traffic area, perhaps. It's just a guess, but, you know, I don't know. Usually in hauntings, or I can't say usually, but oftentimes in hauntings, there's some kind of rhyme or reason to why they're there. Not always. They can just choose to be there. Maybe something about your family is attractive to them or reminds them of their own or reminds them of a happy time. Or the house has meaning to them from the course of their lives or, you know, for whatever reason. But when you have a lot of disparate activity that doesn't seem to tie into anything and there doesn't seem to be any reason they would be there except that they're there, then perhaps they're coming and going through your house or some location near your house or in your house, and perhaps somebody opened a portal. I think that of course portals can be opened intentionally, but I think that they can also open unintentionally, and oftentimes that can be the case from some highly charged events, long-term, super emotional charged things could create vertexes. You know, remember, we're energetic beings in our core, and we have abilities naturally. Like Dee was talking about, she just naturally can do these portal things. She can either open them or close them pretty much by right of her birth or her rebirth, as it were. But, you know, there doesn't always have to be someone summoning demons or, you know, some real ritualistic practice, although that is a possibility. It's just one of those things. They can appear for many reasons, and then there's the naturally occurring ones that just seem to open and close like irises every once in a while, and why they do that could just be a natural rhythm. I don't know. But that could be. I mean, at least it seems to follow a sense of reason to me personally. So this one's coming out of Pennsylvania. This story happened to me when I was about 8 or 9, and I was at my aunt's house, and now this house was really old, and I'd been visiting my aunt plenty of times ever since I can remember. Probably ever since I was about 4 or maybe 5. At no point in my life did I ever believe or have the feeling that the house may have been haunted. Sure, it felt a bit eerie when you're there and when you're in there all alone, but it had never really occurred to me and that there may be something or someone else in there besides my aunt and her family. And now, getting back to that, sometimes a person can be a calming presence. You know, if somebody's lived there their whole lives, they can certainly, just by their presence, be a stabilizing factor to a home. But after their passing, activity can really ramp up because that presence is no longer there. Now, the aunt may be very spiritually powerful, or, you know, perhaps she had just lived a peaceful life with these presences, but with her gone, it's like, you know, game on. Maybe the activity ramps up for that reason, because that stabilizing presence is no longer there, or that stabilizing energy. But anyway, we'll continue. My aunt's house is on top of a hill, a bit isolated from every other house in the area, but there are many trees surrounding the house, so you do feel like the house has a corner all of its own. On this particular day, my aunt was having a party, and as usual, all the men were outside listening to the music that is usually a bit loud at these parties, and some of the women were inside the house, and I'm in the kitchen, and I was alone, just basically wandering around the yard and inside the house, anywhere I could find any sort of entertainment to keep me busy. I felt a small pressure in my lower belly and decided that I had to go to the bathroom, and I walked in through the front door. The bathroom is to the left as soon as you walk like 2 feet. The kitchen is 2 feet to the right. And I went in the bathroom and closed the door and began to unbuckle my overalls when I had the strangest feeling that I was being watched. I looked up, the shower is right in front of the toilet, and I saw a hand. I knew from the minute I saw it that it wasn't just any hand, and it moved, slowly opening the shower curtain. It did this as if it wasn't really sure if it should open it. I felt terrified. I really wanted to scream, but I just couldn't. All I did was just stand there, frozen in place, and I literally felt like I was paralyzed and I couldn't move. Finally, after just watching the hand continue opening the curtain, I was able to move, and I was able to tell my mom, who was in the kitchen with my aunt, what had happened. But there were all these other ladies in there, and I didn't want them to think I was just looking for attention or that I was absolutely crazy. So I said, "Mom?" She said, "Yes." "Nothing, just that there's a lot of flies in here." I know it sounded a bit lame, but at the time, I didn't really know how to explain what I had just seen without sounding crazy. I went back into the restroom to see if the hand was still there, and of course it wasn't. I got up the guts and I opened the curtain as fast as I could, and I saw absolutely nothing. I later told my dad, and of course he didn't believe me, and I told him I had nothing to gain by making up this story, and he believed I wasn't lying, but felt he had to come up with some type of explanation for what had happened to me. My mom, however, told my aunt, and my aunt told her it didn't surprise her that I had seen something because everyone in the family had experienced things as well. Some which were a finger to the lips, boots stepping on what sounded like chips, a man standing at the front of one of my uncle's beds, a man standing outside the window of my other uncle's room, and even though it was a third floor. Jeez. Supposedly, the story was that three men had died in the house, and one on the very top floor and the other one in the basement, and they didn't know where the third man died. I haven't been in that house for a long time, but the house has been blessed sometime after that happened to me, and whether things are still happening, I don't know. I'm not sure, but for some reason, I'd like to go back there and see if I experience anything else. Bad idea? Laugh out loud. Well, I don't know. I think all of us kind of put ourselves in those places just to see if we can experience something. I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea, but I think you definitely got to know what you're stepping into, and you got to know how to protect yourself. Again, paranormal investigating I think it's a cool thing. I really do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think that to come at it from a completely scientific point of view is fine, and a lot of investigators do work that way, but I think you have to come at it from a real balanced point of view and remember to protect yourself, remember to, you know, cleanse yourself before and after an investigation. Remember to, you know, declare that anything following you is cannot follow you. It's not allowed to. And you know, have a ritual of some kind that you can do in order to make sure that you're not dragging home some new roommates. So I think that that's the important thing if you're going to investigate. But I certainly don't think it's a bad idea myself to investigate. I intend on doing a bunch of it this year if I can get my stuff together. It's quite a journey, quite a deal. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network Sports Wagering Week help your bottom line.